Hello and welcome to this episode of Demystified as we explore home cooking in a modern world. I'm Linda and I'm here with my friend Paul. Hey, Paul, how are
you? Hello, Linda.
How are you going?
Good.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Well, you have the topic today and I'm just sitting here floundering.
Well, where good's your memory?
Paella.
Yeah.
It's not that good. So what would you like to know?
Well, why don't you tell everyone how you do it, what you do?
In
You're
my,
usually asking me the question.
I know, and I like it that way too, by the way.
Switch
this up. Well, when I make paella, I used to, because as you know, I'm fastidious to the letter about attempting to follow a recipe. And when my first few that I made were the process of meticulously cutting up the meat that I'm putting in, if I'm putting in anything other than fish.
Mm-hmm.
And cooking it off a little bit, taking that out of the paella pan, and then putting in a little bit of oil and cooking up some garlic, some onion, and then adding in the spices, letting that sort of the paprika and anything else I'm putting in, salt and pepper. And then I put in the peppers and the beans a few minutes later,
mm-hmm.
and cook those down a bit before I throw back in the chicken and then add the rice, stir that around and get the rice that are coated in some of the veggies and the mess from the pan. And then I pour in the stock and I don't touch it again. I don't stir it. I don't touch it. And when I'm just checking that the rice is cooked, the Kalispara rice, I use Kalispara rice. When I'm checking that, I sometimes check the water and think, oh, no, it needs a bit more water. And if I add in stock or sometimes just plain water.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think it's done, I throw on some lemon, wedges of lemon, cover it in cling wrap and let it sit there for a few minutes to just kind of absorb.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I used to, in that sort of meticulous process.
Yeah.
And at some point, if I'm throwing in fish, depending on the type and how you put them in at various stages for depending on their cooking time. Then one day when I was visiting our family in Spain in the lovely little town of Cortes in the Malaga province, I got invited into the kitchen of the bar we used to eat at a lot, and he didn't speak a word of English and my Spanish is as good as, or even less so than my English.
Mm.
So we were just talking, looking at the cooking. Sign language for food and pointing. And I filmed him and his process was completely different. He had his paella dish on the stove and he had the stock in there already and it was boiling. And then he stood there and he just roughly cut an onion in his hand, a couple of onions in his hands, and just threw them in, sort of chunks. He threw in some other things that he was putting in and then threw the rice in, gave it a quick stir, and then walked away.
Yeah.
And he just walked, and I thought, well, that's not how I do it. That's that's not how it's done. What do you mean you just stand there and throw things at the dish? And our uncle at the time said, well, paella in where they come from, it's not an area known for rice and Spain's very regional in its cooking. And he doesn't like eating it when he goes out to restaurants, or he didn't like eating it when he went out to restaurants because he said it was like he considered it to be the leftovers of whatever the kitchen had. So he would prefer to eat something fresh. It was like, he said, it's one of those dishes that it's not, something that he would eat. But whereas we think it's, a main dish in itself,
yeah.
He was always surprised when I ordered it, like, are you really want that with all the other things we could have?
So how do you do it now?
Oh, I tend to do it, I still cook off the meat a little bit, but now I just throw things in all together.
Okay.
And let it just, and you
You're
know what?
You're terrible at telling people a recipe.
Well, I'm not a chef. Ask me how to do something else.
So you're making a chicken and chorizo.
Chicken and chorizo paella.
This weekend.
Yes. I'm making two because I'm not sure about the dietary requirements of everybody else.
So what's the first step? First step is get your paella pan on.
First thing I did was last night prep the veggies and the meat so yep. they're ready. So I always cut the meat.
And I saw you had in there chicken breast.
Well, I tend to eat breast because I like the cooking. I know the cooking time with that. And I know, you know, a lot of – sometimes I when I know people are coming over, I'll get – but they're hard to find sometimes, little pieces of chicken thigh and the little knuckle parts. You know, sometimes like in Spain we get them with wings, but I'm not really – you know, I think that's a lot of effort for not much reward on a wing in a dish like that, personally. Mm-hmm. So I cook off – so I cut up my chicken breast into sort of bite-sized cubes and I cook – and I get the chorizo and I chop it into the same size.
Yeah.
And when I cook off the chorizo with the chicken, the chorizo leaves that beautiful sort of paprika-y, smoky sort of
– fat.
Fat in the pan.
Yeah.
And that's what I cook off with a little bit of oil, but it's a bit dry, the onion and garlic. So these are the really important
things that people need to know, right?
Sorry. And at that point, when the chicken and chorizo are out and the garlic and onions are in, then I add the spices that I'm putting in, depending on who is coming and what I think they can cope with. It's smoked paprika, normally hot.
Yeah.
And I put in some mixed herbs and oregano.
Mixed herbs.
Yeah, it's like mixed herbs. Yeah. I think it's more like an Italian thing.
Yeah.
And then some pepper.
Okay.
And some maybe a little bit of salt, but I tend to forget the salt. It's always a bit of pepper. I know I used to try and put saffron in.
Yeah.
But it was, for me, I just didn't think it added anything other than colour.
Okay.
So I just thought, no, I'd prefer to see the colour of the rice with the meat and the colourful peppers and beans and
that sort of colour.
No wine.
No wine.
I do live with a non-drinking husband. I know, but he does, you know, tend to prefer no alcohol and things. And the stock I use is chicken or vegetable.
Okay.
Normally chicken. Yeah. And if I run out of that.
And how much stock? Enough to cover rice or?
I have a really large paella pan. No. And how would I describe it? I would put.
To cover? Or enough, a centimetre over or?
It's probably a centimetre over would be a good description.
And what's the rough cooking time?
20, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
It's quite quick.
Over what sort of heat?
Oh, medium, low to medium, depending on how quickly I want it to cook, if I can stand there, because when it's up high, but you do get that sort of crunchy, bottomy, burnt bits. Sort of
cool. Sauerkraut.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Which is the base crusty, of the paella, which it's kind of like caught toasted rice on the base, and it's delicious.
Yes.
It's the best. It is the heart of the paella.
Yes, we all fight over that.
Which is what the paella is really all about, to be honest. Well, that is the best bit.
It is the best bit.
Yeah.
So if I've got a bit more time, it's lower to sort of have it, and then we don't have – we've got a large sort of burner, but the dish is wider, the big dish is wider. So I tend to sort of move it around. So I watch for the bubble points in the paella dish and I move the dish around so everything gets evenly treated. People listening to this are going to realize why you do most of the talking, buddy.
So do you think you have to have a paella pan to do a paella?
No.
So
I don't think you need a pan, but it's hard to think of something that would cope with that because it's so thin and spread out.
Yeah.
The heat's so evenly distributed across the pan,
which
gives you that breadth of the crunchy bits at the bottom and the quick cooking time.
So I've got a very shallow cast iron pan, which I've been using for the paella, which actually works beautifully, really quite well.
And you've never asked me for tips on how to cook it?
No, I just figured I'd figure it out. So.
Yeah, it's not rocket science. But
well, no, but I mean, it's funny, the amount of people that struggle with, especially in rice-based dishes, you know, like even just cooking rice. Cooking rice is it's hard to get right, but it's not hard to get. Once you know, right? But it's a lot of people struggle with getting nice, fluffy rice if that's what they want, or a good risotto, or a good paella for that matter. I was just a bit surprised about the chicken breast because it doesn't really carry much flavor. It's very hard to get flavor into chicken breast. So yeah, I think chicken thigh is a far better choice, but that's me. So you can do whatever you want. But the traditionals are chicken and chorizo and a seafood.
Oh, seafood, yeah.
And that's about it, isn't it?
Well, I think with paella, you can basically put in whatever you feel like, whatever your personal preferences are.
Yeah.
I've never really seen one when I've been traveling that, you know, would have a lot of red meat. It's normally lighter.
Yeah.
Lighter. And a lot of the ones I eat overseas are vegetarian if I don't think they're going to be able to put mushrooms in, which aren't common, but sometimes here you get them in, which is strange.
Yeah, I don't see them. Mushrooms.
There's a restaurant in Spain that I ordered a paella. St. Kilda, and I ordered a paella and out came these big mushrooms and had to, I didn't. We looked on the menu and it didn't have it in there. So, but yeah, it's one.
Yeah.
It's one. But
the key takeaways, and I mean, I've only done maybe 8 or 10 of them thus far, but I think to get a good one, right, you're going to get good mice. So spend the money on getting good.
Totally. Mice. Yeah.
Good chorizo sausage. Don't buy rubbish. Get really, really
good. Do you buy uncooked ones or absolutely cooked ones? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what I have done is I just tried it just to see. I poached the chorizo in white wine first and then let that cool and then diced it up and sweated it off like you do. But I then poured that chorizo wine in when I put the stock in. And that was like quite delicious.
That's very fancy. And there's another dish that you can do where you use apple cider and the chorizo and cook it down, cook up the chorizo and then pour in some apple cider and have that with bread. That's yummy.
Yeah.
Yummy.
Bread. So good rice, good chorizo. And I think smoked paprika is the key or one of the keys. So get some good quality smoked paprika. So we're very lucky here. We've got lots of, at the market, we've got lots of good places, but there is a Spanish deli just in Fitzroy and they have
all those things
in one place. So, yeah.
The other thing which I found surprising when the chef in Spain, you know, introduced me into his kitchen, he had this big, really large jar of celery salt and that was his flavouring.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen it before. And he just poured a cracker load in there.
Okay.
And I thought, hello.
Yeah, I haven't gone to putting any like dried herbs in it, so certainly not mixed herbs or dried.
Just a bit. No, just a bit. Just a little bit. It's like be probably a teaspoon of them combined, just with the time I'm cooking up the others, a bit of flavour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I don't think it adds anything really because it's hard to sort of, like, there's so many other stronger flavours, mainly from the chorizo and the
paprika. I was going to do a seafood one, not this weekend, but next weekend. And if the rule is, and I'm trusting you on your Spanish experience here, but if the rule is you can throw anything in you like, I'm thinking I might put some reserved lemon.
That would be nice. That would be really nice. Yeah, because I put the lemon on.
See, I think saffron's a key ingredient too.
Yeah, I used to put it in and go to the effort of, you know, getting it and.
Well, it's hard, the effort.
No, it is.
Oh, my God.
But I just didn't think the way I cook it and the way I sort of make it, because I tend to make it to, and it's a dish that you can make ahead of time. Like I'll be making it for tomorrow's lunch ahead of time. And I can leave it covered up. And when I need it, I can just put it back over a low heat and warm it through again and it's yummy.
Yeah.
You don't need to.
It's forgiving.
It's totally forgiving. And the way you make it is forgiving, which I learned. And really, now that I know that you can go from any of extremes in cooking, it's my personal preference to cook the meat. But if I was doing seafood, obviously I don't do that. That goes in during the process, like the prawns in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, you see, like the.
Although you wouldn't be putting prawns in, would you?
No. But a lot of people ask, you know, about rice, specifically around steam ovens as well. It's like the oh, I can do rice in my stand-up. Like, yes, you can, and you can do rice-based dishes, but the problem sometimes is, like, would you ever do it in your stand-up?
Well, it's no, because
you're not going to get
the crusty bits at the bottom. And when I went to the good folk at Bologna Appliances, you know, all those years ago when we were looking at buying a steam oven or a combi steam oven, that one of the owners, the lovely lady there, the mum of the current owner, said that she made all her paellas now. She was Spanish and she made all her paellas in her combi steam oven. And I thought, wow, this really is an amazing, you know, device. But when I thought about it, I thought I probably wouldn't do that because I know how the risotto works and how that works really well in the combi steam oven, the way we do it, where we still finish it off. It's a hybrid. Yeah.
Traditional.
It starts off on a pan, finishes up in a pan.
Yeah.
But it's cooked in the middle in the steam. But I wouldn't do a paella in there.
Yeah.
I don't see how it would add anything to the process.
Yeah. And that's kind of like one I get often asked more often than not is Hainanese chicken rice, which is a super popular dish, right? Hugely popular. And I still haven't figured out the best way to do it in a steam oven. And I think if it's that much effort to figure out the best way to do it in your appliance, then maybe you should just stick to the traditional way of doing it.
What is Hainanese chicken rice?
Well, it's essentially what it sounds like. I think it's Chinese. It's essentially like a poached chicken, generally whole, but I think you can do parts, but let's just say whole, in a flavoured stock, and you use that stock to cook rice, to cook the rice. So you use that chicken stock to cook the rice. It's a very, very famous dish. So a lot of people have asked me for sort of a one sheet, one pan,
Okay.
Thing. And I've tried a few times. I haven't really probably put as much effort into it as I could. But yeah, I often think sometimes just because you've got it doesn't mean you should use it.
There's a little Vietnamese restaurant. No, this was a long time ago down in Footscray, and I didn't know it was called Hainanese chicken rice. But one of the reasons we would drive all the way over to Footscray for the dinner, apart from our friend Georgie who lived there at the time, but they had this amazing chicken rice and it was fantastic. And everything else that we had would often just end up with just bowls of the rice.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, the other food was so tasty. It was, I didn't know it was called that.
There you go. Learn something.
There you are. You do.
But yeah, like I just thought it'd be interesting for people to know how you do your centers you've been doing payoff so long.
And he still never invited you over.
Like it's pretty easy, right? Like
it's really forgiving. It's skill level, basic, very basic, very basic.
But key points, get more quality ingredients.
Quality ingredients.
And what's the rice called?
Oh, I use Kalaspara.
Kalaspara.
Yeah. Or Arroz. There's a bag that Dougie found somewhere and it was just called Arroz, which was I'm trying that this weekend, but so I'm also taking some Kalaspara.
If you don't have that in your cupboard, you can use is sushi rice.
Or risotto. Can you? Okay. Yeah. We also have risotto rice, which I've had to use at times.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. I don't think it works as well, but it's not bad.
Like, so koshiatari rice, which is sushi rice, it does work.
Okay.
Almost equally as good, actually.
Oh, wow. Well, I don't carry that at home, but I've always got risotto rice and Kalaspara.
Yeah. So there you go.
Well, there you are. But it is very forgiving. For those who aren't put off by my appalling description of how I cook.
I tried to bring it back to
you. I know you tried, but you have, look at what you're working with, buddy. It is forgiving and it doesn't take long. It takes longer for me to prep everything than to actually cook the
And paella pans aren't expensive, are they?
No, not at all.
And it's just a large, round, flat, thin metal.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've got a small cast iron one that I only use if it's really
special occasion.
Well, no, just like if it's an overflow, like I'm not sure how many we're actually cooking for tomorrow. And I'm going to save that if I can for the people who are coming late. But it's cast, and I don't think it gets the same bang for the bottom for the same crunch because it isn't that thin sort of metal, although it's, you know, the metal one looks terrible. It's all discolored but that's all right. That's all part of the process, but it is forgiving. It is really quick. And I think
everyone should get on the bottom.
Give it a go.
Get that.
That is a bit when everyone pushes aside, you know, and then gets out their fork and just starts digging in, and you can't hurt that pan.
Yeah. But that's at all. That is the best part.
It is.
And what's actually good is, because I don't mind your method there, right? So if you take it off the heat and cover it and just let it sweat for a minute, what you'll find is if you scrape a wooden spoon across the bottom and get that crust dispersed a little bit evenly, more of it comes off because it sweats a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's adds like buckets of flavor.
Then you have to share it, Paul.
Huge, huge, huge amounts of flavor. Okay. It picks up all of this flavor from the bottom of the pan. It's like when you deglaze a sheet pan when you've been made roasting bones. It's all that fond on the bottom, all the good stuff. So give it a go. I just thought it would be interesting because we haven't talked about it before.
No.
And I've only just sort of started doing it at home myself. So I thought I'd better ask the expert.
Well, I hope I haven't put everybody the expert. I'm sure there are people out there listening going, oh, what? Oh,
I'm sure there are.
And if everyone's got a better idea or their own way of doing it, please share it with us. But give it a go. If you haven't tried it, give it a go. It is a lot of fun. And on a, in a center point, it is a great share play. It is, and it's quite filling.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's quite filling, which is why, you know, it's, I find everyone likes, I know some people prefer thighs or the little knuckly bits and stuff, but everyone's going to eat chicken breast. Kids will eat it.
Yeah.
Other people can eat it. It may not be their favorite, but it's manageable.
Bring it back to our previous podcast where we were talking about service.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that I thought about paella for this podcast was that one of the food outlets at the music festival I went to was a paella truck.
Oh, yeah.
Van or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had like five.
I know.
And they were massive, like huge.
Huge.
But it was actually really, really quite good. Like, I fortunately timed my run perfectly where the chicken and chorizo was just coming off. And so I got like, and I actually had to tell the guy to scrape the bottom because I wanted.
Oh, because that's what they wanted. They want that.
I wanted the good stuff. But I got it right when it was coming off. It hadn't been sitting there for an extended period. Like, I actually was waiting in the line where I saw him take it off, and I was about the fourth bowl served. And it was really good. Like, really good.
When we're in Spain and visiting the family and we have a big sort of get together, the people that help us organize the food have a dish that's like 2.5 feet diameter.
Yeah.
And they have a special gas ring that they truck in, put down, and it's the same as they do at the at the big events. And there's one here at the market as well.
Yeah.
Which is very good too. So it is a dish that is very forgiving, very easy, and doesn't require a lot of skill, which is why I make it.
Yeah, and cheap.
It is. It's actually it's a little bit of meat and a lot of rice and veggies, and it goes a long way.
There you go.
So happy cooking, everybody. Give it a go and let us know how you are. Oh, no, never doing this again, Paul. I think we're going to. Anyway, until next time, happy cooking, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast as we explore home cooking in a modern world. We'd love you to subscribe. And for more information, please go to our website, cookingwithsteam.com.